Amen. All right. Praise Him. Praise Him. There you go. In the morning, praise Him. Y'all are doing good. I dare you to stand up and do it. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Come on, do it again. Praise Him. Okay. Praise Him. That's right. We got some soul in it now. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes. Just say Jesus. Ready? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the noontime. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus in the... there you go. All right. All right. Amen. I'm as excited as if I had good sense. Amen. Yet, If I had it. That's okay. The sermon has changed three times. It even just changed just a minute while we're up there singing. So it's going to be good. Amen. God is so awesome. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6 verse 8. Second Kings chapter 6 verse 8. Sounds like a basketball player, don't it? 6-8. But you got to reverse it, though, right? That's right. Add them together and reverse it. That's right. 2 Kings chapter 6. God has blessed us so much today, and I believe He's going to keep blessing tonight. I'm so excited. God is awesome. God is awesome. God told been telling me for the last couple of days, real strong, and all the way up here this morning, is quit holding ground and start taking it back. Quit holding it, start taking it back. Amen. If you get that in your mindset, I'm going to quit holding it, I'm going to start taking it back. Guess what? Number one, God's going to move in a very powerful way. Number two, you can see this place pack out. Amen. I believe with all my heart. You want to see it grow, you got to do something to make it grow. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. And you can remain seated. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. In other words, we're doing some stealth stuff here. We're going to hide and we're going to do some stuff on Israel. They don't even know what's going on. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned them of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice, meaning constantly the enemy tried to destroy Israel. And every time he tried to sneak through a sneak attack, he was shut down. Therefore, the heart of King Assyria was sore troubled for this thing. And so he called the servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, one of y'all guys is in trouble. Okay? One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent thither the horses and the chariots and a great host, and there came by night and compassed the city about. Now it said a great host. When he says great host, you're talking about not one or two. A great host. Whenever you see great host in the Bible, you're talking about hundreds, sometimes even thousands of troops. Okay, this is not, he didn't just send two or three guys to get it. All right, hundreds, maybe thousands. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. That's compassing the city means he sent so many that they are, yeah, everywhere you look in Dothan, they were all around the city. They had it shut down. Somebody say shut down. They had the city shut down. So the servant of the man of God, or a man of God, was risen early, gone forth. Behold, a host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. It was a war machine. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered and said, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. All right, I just walked outside. I can't see a place where there's not a chariot and the military guy. And I go back in and tell the preacher, this ain't looking good. And he goes, dude, there's more force than against us. And I'm thinking, huh? Obviously, you ain't been outside. Okay? And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, when he said, open his eyes that he may see, the man's already seeing. The man already sees what's going on around him. He's not making a mistake. He knows the king of Syria is mad. He's sending an army after one man of God. Get at one man of God. Think about it, saying, you wonder why trials hit you so hard and why they're coming so strong, because the enemy don't want to hit you with one. He can hit you with everything he's got. All right? So here you go. He's seeing with his natural eyes. He sees what's going on. And now Elijah says, God, open his eyes that he can see. Now, why would he ask him to open his eyes so he can see if he's already seeing what he's seeing? That's right. There you go. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Woo! And behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Or Elisha. And when they come down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Lord, smite the people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led him right to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. Woo! First, open the eyes that the servant can see. Now I want you to open the eyes so the enemy can see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. That had to be a rude awakening. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he did just that. Here's the question. See, this whole story is about revelation. That the king's trying to find out the revelation. Who's telling the stories? Who's telling who's the guy infiltrating our camp, telling everything that we're trying to do? And then Elijah's servant, when he goes out and he comes back in, he says, there's more than you could ever can imagine. God opened his eyes that he can see. And then he tells God, now open or close the blind the eyes of the enemy. And then when he got him where he wanted to say, now open the eyes of the enemy. And so this whole story is about revelation. This whole story, if you want to say revelation, a good word for revelation also in this day and time is perspective. All right? You can take revelation and perspective and you can put them side by side and they will be a light. I mean, a big light in what you see. So watch this now. Watch. Here's my question tonight. Here's the question. The Lord just gave me the sermon's title. I didn't even have a title for a sermon just then. Guess what it is? Look at somebody and say, what you looking at? What you looking at? What you looking at? Are you looking at the good? Are you looking at the bad? Are you looking for something to come in? Are you looking for something to go out? Are you fencing in or are you fencing out? Are you believing God for what he said? Even the look, when God opened that servant's eyes, nothing changed with the enemy. When God opened the, y'all ain't hear that. When God opened the servant's eyes, nothing changed with the enemy. What changed? He saw God in the midst of the enemy and saw that God was greater than the enemy. So guess what? The enemy that brought fear no longer brought fear because he saw God had this. Amen. Tonight we got to understand, no matter how bad things look, God's got this. God's in control. He's never relinquished his throne. God's got it. Amen. So here we go. Here we go. Watch this now. God has, now we're going to move a little bit further here, all right? Let me tell you something. Now look, perspective. Do you know that you see what you expect to see? Amen. You expect to see what you see. It's got to do with your outlook. You also see what you're prepared to see. That young man was expecting to see something when he went out there and saw the military. He was expecting to see problems. He got what he was looking for. Then the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. Then he was prepared to see something different. This has to do with training. And then he told him and said, then look, then you see what you're tuned in to see. That's got to do with attitude. So that's all got to do with your perspective. What you expect. What are you expecting? Are you expecting a victory or defeat? Let me ask you something now. How many have seen some defeat? How many's in the middle of fighting battles right now? Here's the difference. If you got the proper perspective, you're not fighting to victory, you're fighting through victory. I know I've already won the battle, I've already won the war because Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He bore that cross up Calvary's hill. When he cried, it is finished, he paid the price. Yes, the enemy's real and the enemy's coming after you, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Quit looking at defeat all the time and start looking even in defeat. Look at God and that God is greater than any trouble that you're facing. So now here we go. Let's do Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So now, look, here it goes again. Again, just like before. Remember, here's what a vision is. We talked about it this morning. We talked about it in a different way, but I told you I was going to kind of take things a little different. Do you know that God has given this church an assignment? That's called a corporate assignment. A corporate assignment is a corporate or common goal amongst us that requires not only us, but it requires outside help. All right? Inside help. Amen. Then there is the individual assignment, or that's an individual goal. Again, it requires help other than us. Watch this. It's got to be bigger than us. If God's give you a vision, if God's give you a dream, it's going to be bigger than you are. It's going to be bigger than your circumstances. It's going to be bigger than anything you're facing right now. It's bigger than you are. It points to God. It makes us hit our knees. It makes us study our words or study His word. It makes us get down and ask God to help us. So it's bigger than our circumstances. It points to God and it requires God to help fulfill it. Supernatural power. Amen? I'm going to dare you to do something in the morning. When you get up in the morning, I want you to thank God for supernatural power to fulfill the day's journey. Don't get up and go, yeah, I know you don't, nobody here does this, but just in case. Get up in the morning and go, oh God, if you don't help, I'm going to crawl back in the bed and cover my head. God, if you ain't around, just kill me. No, I get up and say, Lord, it's got to be me and you and mostly you, Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's whip them. Amen. So here we go. So watch this now. Watch this. So awesome. Look, we see what we expect to see. We see what we're prepared to see. We see what we're tuned in to see. That tuned in part has got to be awesome because you got to be trained. That's what we're doing now. But the tuned in part is God gets in. God, eyes upright. Get my eyes focused in. Amen. I got me some of those. I saw them on TV. These glasses make you look like an incredible nerd. Oh, I had no. These are right here. These aren't the ones. And you stick them on, and when you put them on, you look like a bug man. And you take them and twist them till you can focus into what you're trying to see. You want to go to the ad sold on TV aisle in all the stores now. I look for the superbug glasses. They're not called superbug, but they look like a bug. And you put them on, and whatever you're looking at, whatever this is, you got to twist them things. And they made it look like you could pull in an air. I mean, you could read the airline or who it was up all that way up there. And I couldn't even read the directions on a bottle on a can on the next aisle. But I kept twisting them and twisting them, trying to get them somewhere, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what I'm trying to do to you right now, son, if you'll just listen. You got to see. What are you looking at? Are you looking at despair? Are you looking at discouragement? Are you looking at defeat? Are you looking at, hey, yes, I'm in despair. I've got to admit it. Yes, Lord, I'm there. And yes, it don't look good for the home team. But I know that you promised me that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So I'm going to hold on to that one instead of the other one. I'm going to hold on to God no matter what it looks like. When we get to the end of this road, there's going to be victory for us. Amen? So here we go. Here we go. Watch this now. Job, turn to Job. Or you ain't got to turn unless you want to, but Job. Poor old Job. We took 2 weeks on him, but I want to hit him one more time. No, I hit him. I sure appreciate that. Amen. I like what Job said in Job 19:25. I'm not going to keep you long unless y'all ain't looking at it. What you looking at? Watch this now. Here's Job's perspective on his suffering. Job 19, one of the most powerful scriptures in all of Holy Writ. Verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." He did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't have Genesis. He had nothing but what the prophets had said, and he had just had remembered it, and what was going on, traveling around through that time. That's why God went ahead and put the Bible together, because people were going by word of mouth about stuff written down here and there, prophecies and passed down, but he knew that Jesus was going to live. His Redeemer was going to be upon this earth in the last day. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Even if everything I'm going through totally destroys me, and I mean totally destroys me, I'm still in my flesh. I'm going to see God. What are you looking at? What was Job looking at? He was looking at God. He was looking at the promises of God. He didn't even have the promises we've got. And he was saying, "I know that God's going to take care of this. He's got this. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." God is still in control. So here it is. Number one, he renewed his perspective. He clung to the justice and character of God. He knew that God had this. He released his past. "Even if everything I got falls all to pieces, let it fall. I'm still going to see God. No matter what it looks like back there, I'm still going to see God." And then he remembered his purpose. He realized that he existed to glorify God. You know, I sit back sometimes and I try to figure out things. And the more I try to figure out things, the more I realize I can't figure out things. When I was 20 years old, I could figure anything. I'm 54 now and can't figure out, honestly, how to even get across the street to the fellowship hall without trying to figure out why I left over here. God is still in control. Amen. The other day, I went and turned on the water in the shower, and by the time I figured out I was taking a shower, the water already gotten cold. I'm taking out the trash, I fed the dogs, I did this, I did all this stuff. I got on the phone, I'm talking on the phone, I hang up the phone, I'm doing all this stuff. I even did some Bible study. And I said, "I hear a noise. What is that noise I hear? Is somebody in the bathroom?" I walk in there, and the steam has steamed up everything, but the water was cold. But you know what? I still know God's called us to glorify Him, even in all that. Just glorify God. Amen? So here we go. my next and my final verse. 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I used this a few weeks ago, the same verse, but not this way. And this is our main thing right here. This is where actually I was going to start and wound up finishing. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:16, 18. "Which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perisheth," anybody felt any perishing? "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Here's Paul's perspective on trials. He knew, just like about Paul and Silas in prison. He knew that Satan is out to stop the word of God. I guarantee if you stand on a street corner tomorrow and start preaching from Better Homes and Gardens, nobody messes with you. And you call it Reader's Digest, say, hear ye, the Reader's Digest says. Nobody will touch you. Once you say, thus saith the Lord, they're coming at you. Just know they're coming at you. So here you go. Watch this now. Here it is. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. Write these down. There's five things in this verse I want you to look at. I want you to write down. I want you to live by it if you can. I want you to think about it when you tomorrow morning, when you're going through something, tonight when you're going through something. Look at this and remember this. Number one, look in this scripture here. It talks about determination. Never lose heart. Though the outward man's perishing, know that God's working something greater on the inside. The outside can mess up. The outside can fall away. But God's doing something special on the inside. And I'm determined that no matter what it looks like, I'm willing to pay the price. When I come to my next challenge, I know I'm willing to pay that price because the next challenge is going to bring me into a deeper relationship with God. It may not help the outside, but I'm going to tell you what, it sure changes the inside. I can sit back and look now and think of the things now that I look at and just go, right. And years of God be. That's good, right? Some of y'all are going through some things right now and you're wondering, God, are you trying to kill me? No, he's trying to build you. You know, you think, some of y'all, I promise you, once you get through what you're going through, you'll be able to ride down a dirt road in the back of a 57 truck and take nitroglycerin and move it from one bottle to the next. It won't worry your nerves because of what you've been through. Trust God to build you. Be determined. Number two, again, the same verse, destination. Progress is not always visible, but with us, we're still growing. Amen. I can sit back and look and I see things so much different than I even saw them a couple of months ago. Every time I go through something, it changes the way I see things. I remember the biggest thing I told you before, the biggest thing that I can think of ever that changed the way I preached, number one, was the death of my mother. It changed me. And then, as I started getting into counseling and training in counseling, that changed me. But then after my wife died, that really changed the way I saw things. And now, things all the time, it's like God's always taking those glasses and twisting them, how I see things. You know, I get so amazed, and I tell my youngins, I mean, it's like, I was protecting Dylan from his mean old mama. And I was protecting Emmy from her mean old daddy. And both of them said, this ain't the way you used to be. And Daniel says, you think he ain't, well, since you known him, you only known him for 13 years. You ought to seen him when I was coming up. And then they say something like, the grandkids don't ever do anything wrong, do they? I say, yeah, they do, but there's a different perspective now. The biggest perspective is when they start messing up, I hand them back. This today, we're at Burger King, and Dylan wanted a Coca-Cola, and I knew that he couldn't have all that caffeine. So I mixed him a little concoction of a bunch of Hawaiian punch. So I said, Mama, he ain't got caffeine, but Lord knows he got sugar here. He can come out of sugar a whole lot faster than he can to caffeine. All right. Remember this. Our life, there's never going to come a time you arrive until you die. It's all a journey. It's all a journey. Ladies, let me ask you a question. I went to Mass last week. I kept telling y'all how good it was going to be. Did you ever imagine it was going to be like I told you? And it's a lot better than I said, isn't it? A whole lot better than I said. Can't describe it. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it was just awesome. Well, see, the same way, God's, that's right, it did. It kept getting better and better and better. It was awesome. I know it was awesome. But remember, it's not a destination is a journey. A journey. Number three, verse 17 says, for our light afflictions, but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Number three, development. Our struggles develop us. I've learned more from my struggles. I've learned more from my failures than I've ever had from my victories. Man, have I learned from my failures. Now, if you're still making the same mistake you made 10 years ago, maybe you ain't learned from your failure. But if you keep making that same mistake, you've learned it. There's a price for failure. That's remorse, regret, shame. But if you think about when you have failure, when you think about this as a down payment on a lesson that I'm getting ready to learn from God. Wow. So remember, determination, never lose heart, destination. God's doing something special inside of you. Number three, development. Our struggles develop us. Number four, verse 18 says, but while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Whew. Think about it this way. Since we consider, look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting. But the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. So look, number four, decisiveness. We must fix our eyes on the invisible. Here it goes again. What you looking at? What you looking at? What you looking at? Somebody was talking about, I was somewhere the other day, somebody was arguing with somebody else, and I walked up to them and said, 100 years from now, oh, it was at a wedding I was doing. They always argue at weddings. The wedding was going on, and the groom's child decided to go get ice just before the ceremony. The closest ice was 20 miles away. He said, why'd he go now? We got 2 minutes before we walk down the aisle. And I said, you got a little bit more than that now. And he said, how can you be so calm? I said, it ain't my wedding. Nothing like words of encouragement. All right. What are we going to do? I said, we're going to wait. And finally, his son came up about 10 minutes later. You know, and then somebody was arguing about somebody doing this and that. And I looked over at all of them. And I said, watch this. What is this going to matter 100 years from now? And everybody looked at me and they went, yeah. They calmed down. It was really funny because when I started getting the bride, when the groom started saying his vows, he actually started crying. And as he started crying, he couldn't even say them. He said, hold on, I'm trying. And when he finally said them, somebody in the audience, their cell phone, they received a text. And their text was the roadrunner, man. Meep, 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 pew! As I looked out, the congregation said, those vows are sealed. Fix your eyes on the invisible. God, I don't see it, but I know you're there. I don't see you, but I know you're there. I don't see victory, but I know you. I know it's there. Like Elijah saying, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. That little cloud the size of a man's hand wind up a gully washer. Thank you, God. And then the final word, still in verse 18, is decision or direction. Direction. What's more important to us, here and now, or when we get on the other side? Because you know what? To get on the other side, you got to die. And I can tell you're going to be dead a whole lot longer than you are alive. So what you looking at? What you looking at? I mean, I know, but I'm talking about physically. Yeah, you're going to be living over there, but your body's, until the Lord comes back and calls them back, then you can have your eternal body. But still, you're going to be on that side a whole lot longer. All right. You're on that side a whole lot longer than you're on that side. That's a good question. That was a good answer. Yeah. If you failed in any area of your life, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do tonight. I want you to look beyond the circumstances. I want you to look beyond to other people because people will aggravate you. People will fail you. You know, I was talking with a retired Army colonel last night. I met him for the very first time. And he was actually he was a bad dude now. He was Green Beret, and he'd done some stuff Daniel had done, and done some above and beyond what Daniel had done. And he was just been in there for like 40 years doing all this stuff. And we were talking. He came up to me. I didn't even go up to him. He came up to me. And this little guy comes up from Colorado. He was a truck driver. And then we're just sitting there trying to eat at this restaurant. Here's this guy coming to me talking. And this guy, the truck driver, comes up and wants to know if he was asking for a light from the colonel. And the colonel said, here. And he said, what are you? He said, I'm a truck driver. And he said, where are you from? He said, Colorado. He said, oh, you smoke the wacky stuff. Nothing like, I mean, he read that, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I'm telling you. And in 5 minutes, I thought that little guy was going to be dead from a 76-year-old colonel in the Green Beret. And I conned them both down. Y'all chill. What's it going to matter 100 years from now? And the colonel says, I don't care about 100 years, so I'm getting something now. And I said, no. And I tell the other guy, just back down there. Back down. You're going to get killed. Back down. And I said, you didn't understand what he said, and you didn't understand what he said. And so there I was. I'm glad I was there. I'm glad that's where God introduced us. That's why he introduced us in the whole thing, to keep that guy from getting killed and that guy from going to jail. And still, I kept telling them all, you got to change your focus. We got to live in the here and now, but change your focus. Yes, I live in the here and now. But the older I get, the more I realize we ain't going to be here forever. In this side, we're going over. Praise God. I mean, it's getting now to when I do funerals, sometimes I get pure out jealous of the person I'm doing the funeral over. Yeah. Lord, I wish, Lord, when am I going to take that big ride on that silver bus? What are you looking at? Tomorrow, when you're going through trials, here's all I want you to do. Say, God, open my eyes. Help me to see what's really out there. Matter of fact, when you're with people, you know what's going to help them to go to you for help? Is when they're seeing the armies and you're seeing the chariots of fire. And you tell them, chill out, it's going to be okay. God's got this. When you do that, when you can calm down and do like that, number one, you can keep a retired Army Green Beret colonel from killing a truck driver. And he even offered to come, you know, help me. And I said, I'm not sure. He's the one that says if you can't convert, he said it's easier to kill him than convert him. I said, okay. You get saved or I'm going to kill you. Ask God to change the way you see things. You know the old story? Two guys are going in the mid. They filled their wagon up with shoes because they knew the Indians didn't have shoes. And they had hundreds of pairs of shoes and they were going to go sell them to the Indians. And they go out on the open prairie. And when they're out on the open prairie, one gets up in the morning, looks out, and there is hundreds of Indians all around. He comes back in and says, wake up! Wake up! We're going to die! And his brother got up and went outside and said, we're rich! God, I do this all the time. Here's one of my prayers. God, open my eyes. If you don't open my eyes, what I'm seeing I don't like, you got to open my eyes. Open my eyes. Touch me. Give me revelation. Give me perspective. Open my eyes so I can see. Open my eyes. Matter of fact, that's what our prayer is going to be right now. We get ready to pray. That's what our prayer is going to be. But also, remember, there's still pain. There's still problems. There's still all kinds of things. I mean, this isn't sugarcoating and saying nothing's ever going to happen to you. Yeah, it will. It hurts. But it's in those times when you can get that perspective. Those guys didn't change. The army was still there. But after Elisha showed him how to deal with it, the army came in submission. Father. Help us, Lord, to change our perspective. Give us revelation. Help us, God, to quit seeing through the focus of temporary. Help us quit looking through the focus of just what's around us right now. I thank you, Lord, tomorrow when everybody's going to get up and they're going to thank you for supernatural power to get through what you're doing, to get them what they're doing. I thank you for that supernatural power. And I thank you, Lord, that you're in control of every situation, no matter what. I thank you, God, for what you're doing and that things are going to be okay in the name of Jesus. I'm going to leave you with a little story. And this is a true story. I was at Fountain. And when I'm at Fountain, they come up to me. And I told a little bit about this before, but I'm not sure if I told this in this manner. I was told, y'all heard me talking about how they came to me and wanted me to be the supervisor for industrial engineering. And I didn't want to be supervisor because I was doing my own little part. I was doing corrective action. I didn't want to do all that other stuff. I was having a good time, being productive, saving the company money, having a good time, getting raises. Everything was going good. Life was good. They said, once you be a supervisor, learn all of it. And so when the supervisor went out, I was supervisor for 6 weeks, and I come back and I was supervisor for 8 weeks. And so I was supervisor, I had all that time in, and they come and told me, said, now, tomorrow we're making you permanent supervisor. I went to personnel, and they talked to me and said, tomorrow you're going to be supervisor. Here's your raise. Here's what it's going to be, like a couple dollars an hour. And they said, and here's what your responsibility is. We need you to keep doing what you were doing, because if you don't, we're going to get in a bind. I said, it's no problem. I mean, that was not a problem. And so the next day, they came to me and said, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? They said, you're not going to be supervisor. And I said to myself, I didn't even ask for it. Y'all come to me. I didn't ask for it. And then I've been supervisor 14 weeks. And now you're telling me I'm not going to be supervisor. And it made my wife mad. I didn't get so mad because I didn't want to be supervisor anyway. And so I said, but Lord, that's kind of like dangling sugar. And by the time I go to grab it, I didn't ask for it. It was brought to my attention. And I did it. I didn't want to, but I did it anyway. And Lord, you helped me do a good job. But by the time they started to drop the actual money in the bucket, pulled it up. And I said, Lord, that don't seem too fair. And then I started thinking after this, you know, Lord, that wasn't fair at all. I didn't ask for it. And they brought me to it. And they knew I could do the job. And they were satisfied, more than satisfied. But somebody told somebody something about something. And somebody held a gun to somebody's head. I don't know what. But they reinstated the old supervisor. And I said, Lord, I just don't seem fair. But I'm going to be all right. I kept a good attitude. I smiled, kept a good attitude. And in less than 1 month, and I'm so glad that I wasn't supervisor, because in less than 1 month, they come in and say, can you come to the CEO's office? He was Italian. It always scared me. And he sat me at the table and said, David, I'm going to make you an offer you're not going to refuse. And I said, what do you want me to do? He says, I'm making you manager of the whole department. And I didn't want that one even more. But when he told me the benefits, I got liking it better. And when he showed me the money, I really liked it better. And he said, I just need you. He didn't say think about it. He didn't say go think about it overnight. Talk with your wife. Or he just said, I need you to sign the paper right now. And I just went, yes, sir. I might know those guys were sitting around on the side, you know, going, sign it. What I saw was, what I thought was bad, getting the supervisor yanked right out from under me, wound up being good because the supervisor job was here, and it's just in that one little spot. The manager job was all over everything. And the supervisor's job had a little bit of money, but this one had a lot of money. And this one had a little bit of benefits. This had a lot of benefits. I didn't ask for either one of them. It was God's divine favor. And I didn't understand why God let me even get going here for 14 weeks and yank it out from under me until I found out he had something bigger planned for me. So some of you on here right now, something may have been taken away from you. You may have been expecting one thing and got another. And you're thinking, God, why'd you do this? I mean, here it is. I had all this planned. Everything was working out good. And he got yanked out from under me. If you'll hold on and get a little bit further down the road, you'll find out that what you thought was meant for your bad, God meant for your good. Because whatever you thought that was, and you wanted it bad, he's got that for you. He's waiting for you. You know what this did? I realized what that did for those 14 weeks showed them that I was capable of doing that job and that job. And so instead of stopping there, they said, we're going to go ahead and put him all the way up here. Again, Roll Azel is my best friend next to the Holy Ghost. But still, see, I thought God was playing a trick on me. I did. I even started to get kind of a little aggravated and found out something better was coming. So right now, if you're thinking, God, I don't understand this. It doesn't look right. I can't figure this out. God, it just doesn't make sense. Ask God to change the way you see it. That 14 weeks just showed them showed me I could do it, and it showed them I could do more, and so they just took me and bypassed it. Same way, whatever you're going through, no matter how bad it seems, you ask God to change the way you see it. Because when you change the way you see it, you'll see problems become propulsion. It propelled me. Propelled me. My father-in-law's got a little Jack Russell. And that thing, it just bounces all the time. I mean, if you took a slinky and hooked to it, it'd be awesome. And my father-in-law got tired of the Jack Russell bouncing and jumping over the fence. I mean, it climbed the fence. The fence is that high. The Jack Russell would climb the fence. So my father couldn't get the fence to check. Anybody right into the fence, he still climbed it. No matter what it anywhere, it was still bad. So my father-in-law, I went there last night. My father-in-law took a... And my father-in-law's an animal lover, so this is not cruel, believe it or not. I thought so when I first saw it, but I reckon it's not. He tied a rope on him. And on the end of that rope, he got a broom handle. So when that dog runs now, it's not choking him. He's all right. He keeps an eye on him. But now the dog can't jump. And I said, I looked at him and I said, well, Pop, don't you say we can do something a little different than that? And he said, this is working. I said, I reckon it is. I said, well, do you realize you're making him stronger? I got there last night and he said, that dog's amazing. I said, how? He said, that dog learned how to pole vault. He said, I went out to the fence and he couldn't get to. He's on the other side of the fence and there's that thing. He said, another thing I figure is that dog pole vaulted right over the fence. See, the dog changed his perspective. Amen. <That's, laughs> Tuesday night. Come on back Tuesday night. We're going to have fun. Amen. Tomorrow. What are you going to say tonight and tomorrow? God changed the way I see things. Change the way I see things. Let me look into an eternal purpose. God, I may be going through something right now that may hurt, but you're going to take this hurt and you're going to use it to mold me and to shape me. I may be working with somebody that pure aggravates the snot out of me. But God's using that as sandpaper to rough off your rough edges. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll start right now. God, open our eyes. Open my eyes, God. Help me see. Help me see. All right, let's do it right now. That's how we're going to dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus, open our eyes. Y'all say it with me. Open our eyes. Say it again. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see beyond the temporary and see the eternal. Even if there's armies around us, help us to see the chariots of fire in the mountains. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Amen. Come back Tuesday night with your eyes open. You know, y'all heard about that spiritual eyes open. Yeah, y'all heard about when y'all heard that a little boy was walking around the White House and he had a cart full of dogs and they were like 3 weeks old. And the president said, "What kind of dogs you got there?" He said, "These are Democrat dogs, President." He said, "They're cute." And about 6 weeks later, he come in and brought the dogs and said, "I like them Democrat dogs there." And he said, "They're not Democrat dogs, they're Republican dogs." He said, "Well, just 6 weeks ago, they were Democrat dogs." He said, "But now their eyes are open." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Help me see things.